بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. This is the second درس for the tafsir of Surah Ar-Rahman. We covered approximately 12 to 13 verses, and today we continue from the 13th verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started this surah with speaking about some of the fundamental things that relate to the human being. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human. He taught him how to articulate himself, how to speak, how to communicate with others in a very sophisticated way, to just about say exactly what's in the heart. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about some of the cosmic realities like the sun and the moon, how they go according to a timetable. They follow a set pattern. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the submission of the stars and the trees. And every object and every created being and every piece of creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is everything, has its own way of submission. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the heaven in general, after speaking about the sun and the moon, the heaven in general, that that's something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised, and it stays up, it doesn't fall down. And coming back to the world, to human life, on a social level, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about one of the most important things for stability, which is the mizan, the scale, the law, the qanun. And we spoke about how any people who deal with proper law, where there is accountability, then that nation will be prosperous and secure. And any place where that's not the case, then regardless of what else is there, this is such a major issue because it will take the world and everything within the world out of its equilibrium. If the sun and the moon did not go according to a pattern, if they decided to do things on their own and developed a mind of their own and went beyond what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted them to do. Clearly Allah hasn't given them that choice. But imagine that Allah had made them with free will, endowed them with free will the way He has us, and they went out of their equilibrium. What would happen to the heavens and the earth? So in the same way, the only difference is that we have a choice. We've been given free will. We're not forced to follow a particular pattern that we cannot come out of. We've been given choice within a certain amount of jurisdiction. Now, if we're not going to follow the law that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set down, then we have created an imbalance. Now, because we're within that, we probably don't notice it as much. But the animals notice it. And they prey against those who commit oppression in the world. And that's why they make dua for those who study the knowledge. And there are clear and authenticated narrations that speak about the angels laying down their wings. And not just that, but hitan, the fish in the ocean, praying for those who go out to study the knowledge. And the reason for that is clear. You'd expect that somebody who studied the knowledge will follow a line of equilibrium, the balance, the true way, sirat mustaqim. So that shows a very important point, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us. Allah tatghaw fil mizan. Both when you're buying and selling, make sure you give the right measure. And also in your life, do not go and transgress the bounds of the law. May Allah forgive us. وَأَقِيمُ الْوَزْنَ بِالْقِسْطِ. I mean, this is such an emphasis. With everything else, he mentioned it once. With this, it's a وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانَ أَلَّا تَطْغَوْ فِي الْمِيزَانَ وَأَقِيمُ الْوَزْنَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا تُخْسِرُ الْمِيزَانَ. Three times. If this was just about giving, you know, making sure you give the right weight, if you're selling wheat or barley or something, why such an emphasis? Because it starts there, but it's about everything. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and He has placed the scale so that you should not be wrongful in weighing. Observe the correct weight with fairness and do not make weighing deficient. That is a lot of emphasis. That's a lot of words being used for one point. And the word mizan is coming three times. And you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't repeat Himself for nothing. It's extremely concise, the words of the Quran. Extremely concise. So when you've got وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانِ, place the scale. أَلَّا تَتْغَوْ فِي الْمِيزَانِ. And then وَلَا تُخْسِرُ الْمِيزَانِ. Similar. تُخْسِرُ الْمِيزَانِ لَا تَتْغَوْ فِي الْمِيزَانِ. Very similar things. Do not transgress. Do not give short. وَالْأَرْضَ وَضَعَهَا لِلْأَنَامِ. I'm just repeating all of that just to put us in the picture. Then coming back to the earth, speaking about some of the basic things that we have around us that we need for life to work, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as for the earth, He has placed it for creatures. فِيهَا فَاكِهَةٌ وَالنَّخْلُ ذَاتُ الْأَكْمَامِ, in which there are fruits and date palms having sheaths. وَالْحَبُّ ذُو الْعَصْفِ وَالرَّيْحَانِ, and the grain having chaff and fragrant flowers. So not only do you benefit from the plants and the crops and the trees and so on by eating them and by gaining shade from them and by looking at them and, you know, it be the coolness and the source of gladness for the eyes, but there's also another benefit, which is that the perfumes and the fragrance, things which humans really like and feel pleased with. The Prophet ﷺ said that one of the things that was made beloved to him was طيب, which is perfume, which is fragrance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning all of these things because these all have an impact on us. Everything has an impact on us. I mean, as far as perfume. In fact, there are companies out there that will specially formulate a perfume for the identity and the look of your company. So you can pay them thousands of pounds and they will come in and they'll speak to you and they'll understand what what's your motto and what are you trying to achieve, and then they will formulate a perfume for you that then you will have these special dispensers that will dispense this perfume on. So when your customers come in, they have a certain, you know, there's a certain identity with. Subhanallah, there is this, and I think masajid should do that. Because perfume is, it's a great sunnah. And I think it can enhance the experience in a masjid, seriously. So I think we really need to formulate a certain type of, where people come in, they actually feel calm, relaxed. And perfume can do this. Just the sounds and so on. And of course you need good imams that read well as well. But then you do need some good, you know, you need good smell. I think that really helps. Otherwise, sometimes you're standing next to somebody who's just come from and he popped into the kitchen before he came with the same clothes on, and now he's brought the samosa smell to the, you know, to the masjid. And that's a sad fact. And somebody's just had a cigarette. And yet there's others who are using perfume, but it's some crazy perfume that you'd rather not put on. Right? It's not even like soap. But all of these are from the ni'am. All of these are from the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So after mentioning these initial points, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? So from here we continue.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم خلق الإنسان من صلصال كالفخار وخلق الجان من مارج من النار فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان رب المشرقين ورب المغربين فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان مرج البحرين يلتقيان بينهما برزخ لا يبغيان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان يخرج منهما اللؤلؤ والمرجان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان وله الجوار المنشآت في البحر كالأعلام فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان
He has created man from dry clay ringing like pottery and created the Jann, the father of the jinn, from a smokeless flame of fire. So, O mankind and jinn, which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? He is the Lord of both points of sunrise and both points of sunset. So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? He let forth the two seas to meet together. While there is a barrier between them, they do not encroach upon one another. So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? From both of them come forth the pearl and the coral. So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? And His are the sailing ships raised up in the sea like mountains. So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? So as you can see here, these are now additional bounties. And then after every single one, 31 times in this surah, there is this refrain, this repeated phrase, which is not just there for emphasis, but is there to create reflection, to make people reflect that, okay, if there was just a list of bounties mentioned all together, and they were just all mentioned together, it'd be one after the other, then you may focus on some, and you wouldn't focus on the other. But because they've been mentioned, and after each one there is this refrain and this repeated phrase, which is that, which of the bounties of your Lord would you deny? It makes us think about each one. We read it a bit fast. This should be read much more slowly. But the reason why I read it fast was just to give us an overview of the next set of verses. We'll look at each one in detail. But this surah should normally be read very slowly so that we can actually reflect over the bounties and then give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. Because when the first time that this verse, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, this is speaking to two of the infinite number of creatures that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in this world, the human and the jinn. And they will be addressed by, Allah will address the two of them specifically very soon. يَا مَعْشَرَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ, specifically too, because we're the ones with choice. Only the human being and the jinn have choice, free will. And thus, they're told that you're the only ones who can be ungrateful. No other creature can be ungrateful. From the most powerful of the angels to the most, you can say, inanimate object, they cannot be ungrateful to Allah. They have shukr and tasbih written within them. وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِ. There is nothing except that it glorifies the praise of the Lord. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. But you just do not understand their way of tasbih and their way of glorification. But the human beings have a choice. And this is a major reminder that we've given you all of these great bounties within yourself, outside of yourself, around you, and which of them will you be able to deny? So clearly this is speaking to those who do deny, more so than those who do not deny. But it is relevant to those who do not deny, so that at least they reflect and give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But But then for those who do deny, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, how can you deny? All of these are things are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the thing is that they may reject and deny that one of those things are from Allah. They may say that it's from someone else because people have intermediaries that they think are responsible for things. So they may say, no, this is not from Allah. But when you've got hundreds of, when you've got tens of things that have been mentioned, this, that, this, this, and then about you, and then, I mean, can you deny everything? It's related from Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anh, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited Surah Ar-Rahman in front of the companions at one occasion, and they remained silent after it. They didn't give a response. I mean, they weren't necessarily, they would normally say, Wallahu A'lam, Allah and His Rasul, no, Allahu wa Rasuluhu A'lam, they would normally say that. But in this case, they didn't give a response. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَا لِي أَسْمَعُ الْجِنِّ أَحْسَنَ جَوَابًا أَسْمَعُ الْجِنِّ أَحْسَنَ جَوَابًا لِرَبِّهَا مِنْكُمْ Why is it that I see that the jinn give a better response than you do? When they gave the response, Allah knows best. It may have been there and then he could hear it and they couldn't. It may have been before, Allah knows best. But he's saying that why is it that I see the jinn giving a better response than you? مَا أَتَيْتُ عَلَىٰ قَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَىٰ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ إِلَّا قَالُوا وَلَا بِشَيْءٍ مِّن نِعَمِكَ رَبَّنَا نُكَذِّبُ Now maybe we should say that once right now. وَلَا بِشَيْءٍ مِّن نِعَمِكَ رَبَّنَا نُكَذِّبُ فَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ What that means is, there is nothing of your bounties, O our Lord, that we would deny. And even the way they said it, the Rabbana comes in middle. So, literal translation, there is nothing of your bounties, O our Lord, do we deny. And for you is all praise. That's what the jinn responded with. Then, after this initial phrase, فَبِأَيَّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِبَانِ which is, you can see what it's there for. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to speak about the human's origin. And it provides such revelation. It provides such insight into why the human is the way he is or she is. It tells us of what we were created from. And the properties of what we were created from have transferred, and clearly they have to, transfer into the human being in the way they now are. And likewise with the jinn as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ كَالْفَخَّارِ So in this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He created the human being from صَلْصَال كَالْفَخَّارِ In this case, as translated here, dry clay, which rings like pottery. So the idea here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the clay we created you from, when it dries out, it will ring like pottery does. Like if you rub it together, because it's hollow and it's hardened, if you knock on it, it will ring. There will be a ring to it. This is very the reason why this is very interesting is that this is not the only verse in the Quran that speaks about the origin of man. There are other verses and they say something slightly different. Let's look at some of those verses. It says in Surah Al-Hijr, another place, min salsalin min hama'in masnoon. Again, salsal, but min hama'in masnoon. So it is again dry clay or clay, but this one is hama'im masnoon, which means it is dark and changed. So it's not in its original state. It is darkened and it is changed. Maybe it's in the production of it, it's at a later stage once you start making something with it. Then in Surah As-Safat, after Surah Yasin, it says, min tīnin lazib. Tīnin is just straightforward clay. In the others, it used salsal, which seems to be a later stage from tin. Tin is just what's in the ground. Normally you don't hear the word salsal used for just pure clay from the ground. So it seems like the salsal is referring to a later stage in the making process. And tin in lazib, this is sticky clay, the normal state of clay. This is not necessarily, I don't know what you have in your minds when we say clay. It doesn't have to be just the black mud, you know, the nice mud that you can buy from B&Q, Home Depot, you know, from that kind of thing. It's not speaking about the nice, you know, fertilizer, you know, it doesn't have to be speaking about that. Just pure clay. Go somewhere out, dig the ground, you see the pure clay, you know, go to the Qabristan, the cemetery in the winter. Now, alhamdulillah, our local one, they've built it up, so it's not as bad as it used to be, but you come back and getting that stuff off your shoes was so difficult. You had to put bags on your feet so that, you know, otherwise it'd mess your car up. It was just so difficult to get it off. Tin in lazib. That's tin lazib. Where we will go back to. Not to the nice fertilizer soil, you know, but this tin in lazib. So it seems like that's what's mentioned in Surah As-Saffat. Then in another place, Surah Ali Imran, it says, كَمَثَلِ آدَمْ خَلَقَهُ مِن تُرَابٍ. Very simple. Like Adam, alayhi salam, who was created from soil, from sand, from turab, sand. Right? I mean, it's all from the ground. It's different manifestations depending on the composition of that ground. Right? But at the end of the day, this shows a kind of a process. And there's no contradiction. Although there seems to be, it's very simple. You can put them all together, it all makes sense. And the reason is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala initially created, He formed the body of Adam. See, there's a hadith which mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam in his form. خَلَقَ آدَمَ فِي سُورَتِهِ. And some try to take a anthropomorphic, as the Christians do, anthropomorphic idea from here, that Allah created Adam in God's form, which is blasphemy against Allah. Right? It's Allah created Adam in his form, in the sense that unlike all other human beings later who came through stages, embryonic stage, infancy and so on, they developed. Adam alayhi salam didn't develop like that. His form was created in its way, and then the spirit was blown into it. So that's what, so we don't take the Christian idea of this. But the initial formation, and this is a long story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in some of the narrations, they're not necessarily as strong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the angel to pick up some soil from the earth, and the soil said, what are you taking from me? And then it sought refuge in Allah. I seek refuge from you in Allah. So the angel went back. He's seeking refuge in Allah. I can't take anything from it. A few angels were sent like that. The earth said, I seek refuge. So it went back. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this narration mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the angel of death. Malakul Maut. And it said this, the earth said the same thing. He says, I don't care. Allah is the one who gave me the hukum. I'm going to do it. Angel of death doesn't fear anyone. So he took it. And what it mentions there, and this is from some of the narrations mentioned in the Tafasir, is that it didn't just pick it from one place. It wasn't just from Makkah, or from Medina, or from Arabia, or from Indonesia, or wherever it was. No, different parts. Soil was selected from different areas, and that is what composed Adam alayhi salam. And thus, we come out in different forms, different colors, different ways. Another thing is that the human is very malleable. The human is very flexible. It can change. The majority of human beings are humble, except those who go beyond their equilibrium and become boastful and arrogant, and stand on the same earth they were created from and exalt themselves. That's why Allah says, وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Don't walk in this exalted fashion on the ground. As opposed to that, but the majority of human beings are humble, lowly. perfect for servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The jinn, on the other hand, they're created from fire, and a smokeless fire, from the flame. And we'll be explaining that soon. And that is why the nature of the jinn is a very fiery, very imagining, or let's put it this way, the problem with the jinn is that they've got a vivid imagination. They've got a fiery imagination. They think, they think things and turn things around. That's understood from the hadith. In the sense that they see something, they will turn it around and put a lot of imagination into it. And it becomes different for it from what it was. There's one hadith which is mentioned, it's a sahih hadith, that the jinn used to stand on top of each other, form a tower by jumping on, you know, on the backs, on the shoulders of one another, up to the heavens, and then they would listen out to what the angels were planning for the coming day or so on. And then the one at the top who heard all of this would whisper it, pass this down to the next one, and that second one to the third, and so on until it gets down to the bottom. But by that time, it's all changed. Imagination is very fiery. That's why the scholars who've actually dealt with jinn, who have some experience with them, who studied the jinn, mention that a jinn tells you something, you can't believe it. And that's why, you know, these practitioners, amils as you call them, these practitioners, something, somebody's not feeling right, they've got a psychological problem, most of the time it's a chemical imbalance, it's a psychiatric issue, but they don't go to the, they don't go to that, they don't go to their doctors. And they start going to people who charge them a lot of money and say, yes, you've got an issue. All right. Now, some of these practitioners do have a relationship with jinn. And then what they do is, they do these weird things, like they look into your thumb, or they get a young child look into the thumb, they look into a bowl of water. All sorts of strange things they do. Wallahu a'lam. And the ones who really have a jinn, right, they tell you, oh, it was so-and-so of your family, it was your cousin sister, it was that girl that wanted to marry you, or it was that boy whose father said you must marry him. And then this is, enmity is created between families. You can't trust the jinn. Jinn is not a reliable source. It has a vivid imagination. Alright? It's made from fire. Fire, you know, has this flame, like it's just jumping up, very volatile. Because a human being is different. The human being is created from clay that can be, you know, formed into various different things. Very flexible. And that's how human beings are. And anybody who's rigid, they're going against that nature. Anybody who's not humble, they're going against that nature. But anyway, looking at all of these different words that have been used for clay in the different ayat of the Quran, firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the turabul ard, the straightforward soil, clay from the earth. Then it was mixed with water. فَعُجِنَ بِالْمَا. So initially it was turab. Then it was chained, it was mixed with water. And that's what happens to, as I mentioned, at the graveyard when there's been rain. It becomes all sticky. So initially it's just dry soil. Then it becomes sticky. So it was turab, as mentioned in Al Imran. Then it becomes طِينٌ Lazibun, which in Surah As-Safat, it becomes sticky clay. Right? And then it was left for a while until it became fermented, in a sense, or it became matured. I don't know if there's a particular word for that in pottery, right? And that's when it became black and smelly. Right? That is where it says Hama'im Masnoon. Min Salsalin min Hama'im Masnoon. Black and smelly, right? Because it's now been slightly changed from its original nature. And then it was formed. So the body was formed from it. So it was turned into a shape as such. And then it was made to become dry. And then when it became dry, it became kalfakhar, like pottery. So now you could hear a sound. And there's a narration again mentioned by the Mufassirin. When Adam alayhi salam was first created, jinn, the Iblis, who was a major jinn, he came, looked him over, and it mentions he went He found it hollow. He said, no problem, I can deal with this one. He found it hollow. He said, this is hollow, this is not solid. So he wasn't very scared of the human being because of that hollowness. But that is the last part of it, kalfakhar. As mentioned in Surah Ar-Rahman, which is the final part of it before the ruh was blown into it. So when you knock on it, it will make a sound. And that's what this is referring to. This is the last of the stages of the formation of the human being, the origin of the human being.
وَخَلَقَ الْجَانَّ مِنْ مَارِجٍ مِنْ نَارٍ.
Specifically mentioning that the jinn he created from a smokeless flame of fire. So not from the smoke, but the smokeless flame of the fire. So this one, the jinn is created from a flame of smokeless fire. Right? Pure flame. Lahabin khalis. Pure flame. La dukhana fihi min an-nar. There's no smoke in that. Whereas Mujahid says, no, this refers to what I said earlier was Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu's opinion. The other Mufassir Mujahid, he says, he's speaking that this min marijin min nar refers to that flame which is mixed with the darkness of the fire. And there's a hadith just to finalize this. وَخُلِقَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ مِنْ نُورٍ. And the angels have been created from a type of light. Right? Have been created from a type of light. وَخُلِقَ الْجَانِ مِنْ مَارِجٍ مِنْ نَارٍ. And the jinn have been created from this flameless, smokeless flame. And وَخُلِقَ آدَمَ مِمَّا وُصِفَ لَكُمْ. Adam alayhi salam was created from what has been described to you. Imam Muslim relates this hadith. And the one I mentioned earlier about the jinn was from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. And that's in Tirmidhi and Hakim. They've related that narration. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So we've told you about your origin. This is how we created you. Look at where you came from, what you are now. Would you ever believe that? You know, somebody denied this. The story about somebody who denied this. He said, no, we're not. How can we be from soil? Right? In fact, I think what he denied was, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the hellfire, its fuel are human beings and the jinn. Jinn is from fire. Why? How will fire harm fire? So he just kept asking this question to this older person. The older person finally got a bit irritated and took some soil from the ground, you know, made it nice and hard, and he threw it at him. He said, does that hurt you? He said, yes, it does hurt me. He said, you're from soil, this is from soil. I mean, if this is harming you, this is hurting you, then what's your problem? Allah will, the fire will burn, you know, this other fire. And clearly, I mean, we're not soil anymore. If he wanted to reduce the human being to soil again, you'd probably have to put him into a cremator. You know, subhanAllah, the bones, you know how strong our bones are? That, you know, when they cremate bodies in after funerals, they put them into a furnace. And you'd think that it's a very, very powerful furnace, probably, you know, with some catalyst to really, intensify the heat. You'd think that would turn it into ash. It doesn't. They then have to scrape out the remainder of the bones. It's not all made into ash. Then they grind it. They grind it into ash. So the fire doesn't turn it into ash. It's ground into ash. The remaining ash, that's ground into ash. But clearly that's haram, as you know. It's really sad for people in this country that are buried, that die without anybody. That's what they do to them. Unless you left money and there's somebody to say this money will be spent for a grave and so on, that's what they'll do to you. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So, O human, O jinn and human being, which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? Abu Hayyan, he says that one of the
benefits or wisdoms behind the repetition of these phrases, these ayat. Initially, one, that there are it has a multifaceted reasoning. One is, it's for emphasis. It's for waking you up and reminding you, making you reflect. Creates a movement in you. And Ibn Qutaybah says, well, there he's mentioning so many different types of blessings, so he's just reminding you after each one. Which one are you going to deny? Which one are you going to deny? Which one are you going to deny? So every time he mentions a bounty, he mentions that that ayah. Rabbul Mashriqayni wa Rabbul Maghribayn. He is the Lord of both points of sunrise and both points of sunset. He's done a very meaningful translation. Otherwise, really, Mashriq means the east, and Maghrib means the west. Well, literally speaking, Mashriq comes from the word Shuruq. Shuruq means sunrise, and Mashriq is the place of sunrise. But it says Mashriqayn, the two places of sunrise, or the two points from where the sun rises. And likewise, Maghribayn, a dual, two places where the sun sets. So Maghrib comes from Ghurub, sunset. That's what it means. And that in the different seasons of the year, the sun, although it rises in the east in general and the west in general, but there are different points within the east and within the west that it rises and sets different parts of the year in general. So that's why it's made dual. Rabbul Mashriqayni wa Rabbul Maghribayn, as opposed to Rabbul Mashriqi wal Maghrib. In this case, it's Rabbul Mashriqayni wa Rabbul Maghribayn. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِبَانِ. Which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? مَرَجَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ يَلْتَقِيَانِ. The next one, coming up from the east and the west. Now he begins to speak about two oceans, large expanses of water, two seas. After mentioning the sun and the moon earlier, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went beyond that and said, the place where the sun comes, forget the sun and the moon, but the places from where they come, where they rise and where they set, that is also, Allah is the Lord of that. So it's another aspect of it. Then, speaking about a very interesting phenomenon, I don't know if anybody has experienced this. Has anybody seen where the confluence of two oceans or two seas? Has anybody seen it? Yes. Which one have you seen? Right, yeah, that's where I've seen Cape Point, which is down south, tip of southern Africa, in South Africa, in Cape Town. So you go there and it's supposed to be the Indian Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean, right? One is supposed to be like greenish, one is supposed to be bluish. The problem is that you can't always see it, because it has to be seen further out to sea, depending on how good the day is and so on. Right? But it's very interesting that both of these are coming together and there is nothing that will mix them up, even though they could mix. You do an experiment at home with a small quantity of water, you know, one colored with something and the other one, they will mix. You just cannot stop them. You know, even if you put something in between, they'll still mix unless it's an absolute separate, separate container or something. But here you've got these two massive expanses of water, and they do not mix. That is what's being reminded here. And this is not just one place in the world. I mean, we've heard of two places here. One in Tangiers, Tanger, which is in the northern tip of the Red Sea and the Egypt. Red Sea and the the Nile and the Red. Okay. The very famous one is in Cape Point, Southern Africa, South Africa rather. And so he's saying, بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخٌ لَا يَبْغِيَانِ. That there is between them a barrier that they do not encroach upon one another. It's related about some diver who noticed this. He felt a sensation on one side that was different from the other side, in the water, the experience. Then he examined and he noticed that this is where the confluence of two rivers or whatever it was, I don't recall the exact location. And the thing is that when he came back, he started studying this. just didn't pass it off. He started studying this. And then he discovered that 1400 years ago, this has been mentioned in the Quran very clearly. In these very clear terms, look at the verse. It says, بَيْنَهُمَا barzakhun. Barzakh is a wall, a barrier. لَا يَبْغِيَان. They do not encroach on one another. And that led him to become a Muslim. That's the way of the Quran. It's got different things for different people. That's why when many people, they say, I've got a friend, he's interested in Islam, she's interested in Islam, what should we give them? You can't just give them anything. You can give them the Quran, but other than that, what's their interest? Are they philosophical? Are they scientific? Are they just very simple people? Right? Or what are they into? And by that. But the Quran is the most wonderful thing you can give to someone. Because it has everything. And something or the other. Because it speaks directly to the heart of the human being. بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخٌ لَا يَبْغِيَانَ. So the one side is salty, the other side is sweet. Sweet meaning pleasant. It's not a salty one. This could be an ocean and a river. A freshwater river and an ocean. And it doesn't mix. It retains that barrier. Which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? يَخْرُجُ. And then, okay, these are not just there for nothing. There are things that come out of this ocean. You travel in them. So there's going to be mentioning a number of different things here. One is يَخْرُجُ مِنْهُمَ اللُّؤْلُؤُ وَالْمَرْجَانِ. From it, from both of them come forth the pearl and the coral. Different types of precious stones that gladden the heart of people. Right? So you've got لُؤْلُؤ and مَرْجَانِ. لُؤْلُؤ are the small pearls. And مَرْجَانِ are larger versions of the same kind of thing. So the origin is similar. But the coral are just larger formations. And then you've got the pearls are nice and round. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the earth, that from the earth comes all of these different, you've got the dates and you've got palms and you've got the different forms of from the ground. Likewise from the ocean, you've got all of these different things that come out. And this is just two things that is mentioned here. I mean, there are so many things that are yet undiscovered. Ibn Abbas relates from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. No, it's related from Ibn Abbas and Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhuma, that Marjan refers to red coral. I mean, it doesn't matter what color it is, it's speaking about the beauty of the ocean. And it's speaking about the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even where you normally don't see it. فَسُبْحَانَ الْوَاحِدُ الْمَنَّانِ. Glory be to the one and the great bestower of bounties. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? وَلَهُ الْجَوَارِ الْمُنْشَآتُ فِي الْبَحْرِ كَالْأَعْلَامِ. Now you'd think this ocean, when you throw something in there, it sinks. You cannot guarantee that it will remain afloat. You put yourself in there and you will go down. However, you've got things which are like mountains. And literally that is the case. I mean, look at the things that you have. They're even more mountainous than they were probably ever before. These big, what do you call them? Super tankers and where they... aircraft carriers and subhanAllah, I mean, these big platforms like a little city, a little town floating on the ocean. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after mentioning that from it comes forth the pearl and the coral, the next thing is mentions is, and his are the sailing ships raised up in the sea like mountains, and they do not sink. And the thing is that the human beings knows that this is something that we've been given and they don't feel secure enough. They know that this just rides with the command of, this seems totally illogical that this is riding. But they go with it. That's why, Qurtubi says, Kal a'lam. A'lam comes from the word alam, which means like a big sign. But here he says that it refers to mountains, because mountains are major signs as well. So just like in the oceans, we've got on the earth, he says we've got mountains. In the oceans, you've got these, you've got these major ships that sail there, and it is the bounty of Allah and the gift of Allah that they sail unhindered. and so much benefit. If you didn't have a way through the ocean, can you imagine how much longer things would take to go from one place to the other? Our whole trade depends on it. Things between the continents. It depends on it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this bounty that He's given you the ability to build something. He's inspired you with the understanding that if you build this thing this way, and every year, every subsequent generation is inspired in a way to refine it. And that's not just in this, in other things as well. And sometimes we lose this trade. So sometimes Allah causes things to be forgotten. For example, if you go to certain countries, they make certain tiles that would never fade, like in Turkey, in Isnik tiles. Can anybody make them today? It's been lost. Wallahu alam. There are different things like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes causes them to be refined. It's just that, you know, we live for 70 years, 80 years maybe, and we see certain things. When you look in the history and you see how people used to do different things, how for example, the pyramids were designed and then made, it just baffles the mind of how people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but then these things were to be forgotten, and then Allah makes you start again or makes you do it in a different way. So how things move from one place to the other, how you earn things this way, how you find a job through that way, how you travel from one place to the other, from one continent to the other. If you notice that people say that the origin of everything are four, you know, the four fundamental elements. When we speak about that, we're talking about the earth, the water, the air, and the fire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning all of these things. Right? Allah is mentioning all of these things throughout these verses. خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ from the soil. Allah created the human from the earth. يَخُرْجُ مِنْهُمَ اللُّؤْلُؤُ وَالْمَرْجَانِ from the water comes this coral and these pearls. And then وَلَهُ الْجَوَارِ الْمُنْشَآتُ فِي الْبَحْرِ كَالْأَعْلَامِ all of these things like mountains. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about that. That's why the God-fearing people who used to sail the seas, right? If you're at sea and you believe in God, you're better off than somebody who doesn't believe in God. And one of the best places for this distinction to be made is in the sea. Because it says that the God-fearing sea people, used to say, لَكَ الْفُلْكُ وَلَكَ الْمُلْكُ for you is the ship, and for you is the dominion and the sovereignty of everything. That we're just going by your grace. They used to say that. That is their actual belief. And that's why if they ever feared that they would, in a tempest, in a storm, that they were going to go down, they would pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ Further, specifying and single-mindedly directing their worship to Him, making their deen purely for Him. فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ And the others who've just called out to Allah became believers temporarily. It says, فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ And eventually when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them delivery to the land, إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ They start to commit shirk again. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ Which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a wake-up call. Okay, these are all things that I'm reminding you of, which are on the earth. However, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانِ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانِ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ Everyone who is on it has to perish. And your Lord's countenance will remain, full of majesty, full of honor. So which of the bounties of your Lord will you deny? Inshallah, we'll carry on from there next time. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم يا حنان يا منان لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين
جزا الله عنا محمدا ما هو أهله جزا الله عنا محمدا ما هو أهله جزا الله عنا محمدا ما هو أهله اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وعافنا واهدنا وارزقنا اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا هداة لمن اهتدى اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين اللهم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا اللهم اغفر لموتانا المسلمين الذين شهدونك بالوحدانية وماتوا على ذلك اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولمشايخنا ولأساتذتنا ولطلابنا ولأزواجنا ولأولادنا ولإخواننا ولأخواتنا ولأقاربنا ولأصدقائنا ولكل من له حق علينا ولكل من أوصانا بالدعاء اللهم انصر المسلمين في كل مكان اللهم انصر إخواننا في سبيلك اللهم احفظ المسلمين في كل أنحاء العالم اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب